Expressions from St. Paul is made possible by your faithful prayers and contributions. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 46 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. Dr. Williams has asked one of our phenomenal associate ministers to share God's word with us today, Reverend Ron Clark. And Reverend Clark teaches that we are all called to ministry, and to truly fulfill our calling, there are things in our past and present that we have to let go.
God wants us to let some things go in order to be free in the spirit. In order to do what God has called you to do, you've got to let some of this stuff go.
If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of Judges, chapter 7, verses 2 down through 7. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the sanctuary, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
This morning, I want to give honor to the Lord for his goodness, for his mercy. I want to thank the Lord for Pastor Williams giving me this opportunity. I thought after the Thanksgiving that I would be able to just calm down and let my food digest. But God is good. I was awake at 3 o'clock this morning. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Williams. I appreciate the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Father, this morning I just want to thank you for your love and your kindness, your tender mercies. I decrease that you might increase. I ask that you would touch these lips of clay, that I will expound upon your word, and with clarity and with peace, we give you praise and thanks. Amen. I also want to acknowledge my wife. Praise the Lord for being here. Sister Miss Vera, would you please stand? Maybe everybody don't know who you are, but I just want to let you know she's been blessed for 33 years. I've been blessed. We've been married for 33 years, and I give praise and honor to the Lord for that. And I want to thank the Lord for our church family. Praise the Lord. And I pray that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving with your families, whether you ate fish, whether you ate chicken, or whether you ate turkey, or whether you had cornbread, it don't matter. We just praise God for his goodness. And whatever God has blessed us with, I'm grateful. Now, I know this, we're supposed to be temperate in everything we do, so I have a different philosophy. On Thanksgiving, I get a little bit of this because I'm being temperate. So when I saw the pound cake, I said, I'm going to be temperate. And I got a little piece of pound cake. But when I saw the banana pudding, I said, I'm going to be temperate. I'm going to get a little piece of pound cake. So I got a little piece of everything, and I'm full today. Still full. But God has been good because he has provided our needs when we didn't think that he could. Now today, I'm going to be just a little different after we stand and read the scripture. Amen? If you're able, if you will stand with me and read Judges, the 7th chapter, verses 7 through 8. We're going to read Judges. It's in the Old Testament. The 7th chapter, Judges 7, verse 2 through 7. And I ask you to follow along with me. Later during the sermon, I'm going to be referring to some other verses down in the scripture, so I want you to keep your fingers pinned in that chapter. Amen? But we're going to read this morning Judges, the 7th chapter, verses 2 through 7. Please listen as I read. Amen? And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. I'm reading from the King James Version. Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Verse 3 reads, now therefore go to proclaim the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from the Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Verse 4 says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are you have are too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee. The same shall go with thee. Of whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, and the same shall not go. Let's read verse 5. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down unto his knees to drink. Verse 6. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down unto their knees to drink water. Verse 7. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lappeth will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thy hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. Thank you. You may be seated. Gideon was a man with strengths and weaknesses, just like we are today. Can you repeat after me? I have strengths and I have weaknesses. I have strength and I have weaknesses. So the subject of the title of my sermon today is Let It Go. This sermon was given to me last year after I had knee surgery. And during that 5 months time off, I worked on that sermon. This year, I was off for 8 months. I had surgery on both hands, and I completed this sermon. During that time, the Holy Spirit was letting me know I had to let some things go. I had some situations on the job that I went to the union, and I didn't get any help. And I realized that I was being treated unfairly. I realized that I had some issues that the Lord was saying, Brother Clark, you need to let this go. You need to let some things go because I've called you to ministry. You need to let some things go because if we don't let some of the things go and let some of the weights go, we have some issues, amen? And I had some issues that I needed to work on. And one of the things that I have here today as a prop, I brought some trash to church. I didn't want to bring it in the pulpit. There's a sermon right in there. We carry some stuff with us. We have some things of our past in this trash bag that we have. We have some issues. But God has called us regardless. God called Gideon to ministry. God called every one of you to ministry. Repeat after me. God called me. God called every one of you. But guess what? During our call, we have some issues of the past. We have some stuff that we need to let go. For instance, as a child, I was born with asthma. But I had another brother who was athletic, who was handsome, who could just do all kinds of things. But I would try, but I was wheezing. I just couldn't run too long. And so when my dad would throw the ball, he would say, oh, he ain't gonna catch it. So guess what? I didn't catch it. Because of the words that he said. Because of my past, it would hurt some of the things that I had to do. And every one of us have heard things and had phrases said in your life. I just want you to know that your words matter. Your words that you say to your children, they matter. Because they were seared in my brain, I thought I could not be athletic. I never was athletic. Matter of fact, it was probably because I couldn't run. But after the age of 12, 13, they say I grew out of it. But I wasn't wheezing, but I still wasn't athletic. That wasn't my thing. I let my children be that, but that just wasn't my thing. But my point is, we have stuff. We have stuff. God has called some of you to preach. God has called some of you to teach Sunday school. God has called some of you to be deacons. God has called some of you to sing in the choir. God has called some of you to do all of those things. Even with your call, you have some stuff. You have things of the past that you want to let go. Now I have some more trash here. This is my administrative assistant, Tyrone. Amen. Thank you. Today, let's bring it around today. What is going on in your life today? What binds you? What words have hurt you so? What situations have hurt you so that you're carrying around the pain? You're carrying around the hurt. Someone said 40 years ago that you were no good. Maybe you had a divorce, and they said you would never amount to anything. I'm going to leave you out in the dirt. I'm going to let you go. And you've had to take care of your children all by yourself. I'm talking about situations and relationships. You have the present thing today. A couple of months ago, someone shared something with me that hurt me so bad that I broke down afterward. I fell to my knees. I've had situations in my life where people said stuff, I brush it off. I'm that kind of person because I knew who I am. But this particular thing hurt me to my heart. I would come to church with that thing in my mind and in my heart. And every time I would think about it, I would break down. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, my wife kept saying, something wrong. I said, oh, baby, it's all right. She said, something wrong. I said, baby, I'm cool. And she said, something is wrong. So when I finally shared with her, we broke down and we prayed about it. But guess what? The Lord was telling me and sharing with me, Ron, you need to let that present hurt go. In relationships, in situations, whether it's health, whether it's our job, whether it's our wealth, whether it's our retirement, whether whatever you might be facing today, God wants you to let it go. Maybe it's our marriages. Marriage is a serious thing, and the devil wants to destroy our marriages. He wants to destroy the church. Oh, Lord, here comes another bag of trash. It says hubby in the doghouse. I have been in the doghouse, but I've been good a long time. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Clark. Real life. Now, I know some of you say, you know, my marriage is wonderful. I have never had no situations, and it's always good. But guess what? After 33 years, My wife is a praying woman. I have some issues, and she has some issues. God has blessed my marriage, but it takes work. I don't care what you say. It takes work. Because sometimes you wake up, and I know she looked over at me and said, oh my gosh, what did I do? And there were times I said, Lord, was this, is this what you said? But God has called us to something. So we talked about our past. We talked about our present. Now we have the chains of fear. And because of our past and because of our present, there are things that bind us. There are chains that keep us. There are things that God has called us to do, but we're carrying these trash. We're carrying fear. Fear will stop you from obeying God. Fear will hinder you from doing what God has called you to do. Fear will immobilize you so with these chains, and this chain is kind of heavy. It feels uncomfortable. But that's what happens to our call. Now, you're still called. Did you hear what I said? You're carrying all of this stuff, but you're still called. I'm still sitting in this pulpit, but I have some past. I have some present issues, and I have some fears, which made it seem like I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. But we're going to go to the Word so I can build my case. God called Gideon, and God called every one of you that's sitting under the sound of my voice today. Now, I said that we have weaknesses and we have some strength. But what I like about our mighty God, during this call, God knows just what to do to get you to do what He's called you to do. Gideon's occupation, he was just a farmer. He was a military leader. He was a judge and a prophet. Now, his number one calling was to defeat the Midianites and the Amalekites. But Gideon, again, had his strength, and he had some weaknesses, as we do. But God said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, let me give you a little history about what was really going on about Gideon's past. And the children of Israel at that time had did evil in the sight of the Lord. I've gone back to just a few in Judges chapter 6. And I'm going to do my best to paraphrase what I'm talking about. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
So guess what? The consequences was, God delivered them and handed them over to the Midianites and the Amalekites in bondage for 7 years. The scripture says that the enemy was like grasshoppers that destroyed their farmlands. They destroyed their cattle. They destroyed their sheep. And all of this was their complete livelihood. If I would break it down today, it means my money in the Bank of America is no longer there. It means what I had access to, what my assets were, it's gone. That's what it means. So everything that they had was gone. And so this is what the children of Israel did, because they were killing them and ruined their homeland. So they ran to the mountains and they hid in the caves. Amen. But guess what? I want you to remember this. They were absolutely impoverished. But what the children of Israel did, now they were carrying their past issues. They were carrying their present issues. They were carrying fear. They were carrying chains. They felt hopeless. So what they did, they cried out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord. You may not immediately see what's going on when you cry out to the Lord. But we live in a time, church, we are living in the last days. We're living, now I've been hearing this and 50 years that we're living in the last days. But if you read the handwriting on the wall, if you really see what's going on in the world, not just America, I see it. Guess what? Unbelievers even see it. They know something else is going on. But here is the key to our issues, and I'll come back to this. They cried out to the Lord with their chains on. And just because we are crying out to the Lord for our children, for our marriages, for our situations that we're going through, behind the scenes, if I had a curtain, I would display it. But behind the scenes, God is working it out. So guess what God did? He called Gideon, but he called the man carrying a chain. He called a man with fear in his heart. He carried a man with present issues, with strengths and with weaknesses. Even though Gideon was slow to believe, once convinced of God's power, he was a loyal follower who obeyed the Lord's instructions. He was a natural leader. But in the beginning, listen now, Gideon's faith was weak, but he was still called. He needed the proof of God. He showed great doubt toward the rescuer of God. How many of that God, of us do the same thing? God has called every one of you in this sanctuary that are sitting in this seat. He called you to a specific mission that nobody else can do. Now, if you are convinced that you are no longer worthy, you are sadly mistaken. You have bought what Satan said. He has sat you down with your chains. I'm not singing anymore. I'm not preaching anymore. I will come to church. I will show my face. But I'm not going to participate because I've had this chain that's hurt me so. I can remember the words that you said. In slavery, what they did, the masters would sear or burn their name or their symbol into that slave. And even when they were delivered, there were some slaves felt like they could not be free because they had the sear mark on their hands or on their back or wherever. And we have some issues today that are seared in our very conscience. But God wants us to let some things go in order to be free in the spirit. In order to do what God has called you to do, you've got to let some of this stuff go. Yes, it hurts. Yes, it made you into the person that you are now. But God wants you to step out of the box. Oh, Lord, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me slow down. God wants you to step out of the box because he has called you to mission. Amen? And so God has called everyone to mission. But check what Gideon did. Being called to mission in verse 12. This is what happened. The angel spoke to Gideon, saying, "The Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor." Even in the state of weakness, God referred to Gideon as the mighty man of valor. This is key to remember to see yourselves through the eyes of God. I'm carrying a chain. I've been hurt, and I've sat down on God. I'm showing a smile on my face, but deep down in my heart, I've decided that I cannot do it. But you have to see yourself as a mighty woman of God, a mighty man of valor, a mighty woman of valor, because God has called you to mission. And just because you've been called does not mean that you have a license to sit down on your call. Check out the dialogues between God and Gideon. Gideon responds to the call. He says, Lord, why all of this stuff has happened to my people and my nation? So Gideon questioned God about the dire circumstances, that his people are hiding in caves in the mountains, that their livelihood has been completely destroyed. At that time, Gideon forgot, though, that the sin brought upon them was because of their sins. But this is what God said to Gideon. He said to Gideon, even with all of his issues, even with his past, even with his fear, even with his present issues, even with these chains round about your neck, he said, Gideon, go. He said to Gideon, go, surely I will be with you, and I will give you strength to overcome your enemy. You sitting under the sound of my voice have heard for years that you cannot do it, maybe because you're a woman, maybe because of your race, maybe because of your disability or whatever, maybe because you don't feel good, maybe because of where you are, that you can no longer minister. Maybe because of your disability, maybe what has happened to you, you have to change what you've done. Maybe you can't run down the aisles anymore. But just because you have an issue, God did not take away the call. Just because you have the pain, you might have to minister with tears in your eyes. You might have to show up on the job with a smile on your face. You might have to show up to choir rehearsal. Every issue that we have, whether it's medical, whether it's you brought it on yourself, it is not over. God has not revoked his call. Because you have to minister if you are handicapped or disabled from the neck down. You have to still be able, because God has done it to different people. You have to be able to put a smile and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, last year I was on a walker for almost 4 to 6 months. And I decided that I would go to Home Depot because I didn't want that issue to stop me from moving forward. I would come to church and I sat in the area back there, praise God for it. But I never thought I would have to sit back there. But God was showing me something. God was showing me that you minister to elderly people. And they're in wheelchairs in a convalescent ministry. And they may not be able to get up afterwards and go home. Somebody has to wait on them. But what God was showing me, that somebody had to wait on me. I didn't like that. I had issues with it. Because I'm an independent man. But my sweet wife waited on me. She fixed me breakfast. I said, Lord Jesus, I had to let this go out just a little longer. But she just done things for me that I could never do for myself. And then this year, the Lord was showing me that you still have some issues and you need to be waited on. So he showed me that when you go out to minister now, you would minister in a different area because you know just a little bit what it means for somebody to have to wait on you. Don't go out and just tell people to get over it. God wants us to minister and teach us through our issues, through the chains that hold us down, through the fears that we have, because those fears are holding us back. Those fears are stopping us from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because of those fears, somebody's not going to get the word from you. But God responded to Gideon. He said, go, I will be with you. I will not forsake you, and you will overcome your ministry. Then Gideon's response here, he said, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? And this is why I have always been, Gideon was one of my special stories in the Bible, because I can relate to some of the issues that Gideon went through. He said, Lord, now how can I save Israel? Behold, he's talking about his past right here. He's talking about his background. He said, behold, my family in Manasseh is poor. All right. He's talking about his past. Here we go. He said, Lord, my family is poor. Here, now here where I relate it to. He said, and I am the least in my father's house. And when I read this 50 years ago, somewhat, something like that, I felt like that. Because I was told I would not be any good. I was told I was the weak one. So I grew up thinking that I had nothing to offer. Because of those words. So Gideon said, Lord, I'm the least in my family. Yeah. And besides that, we're poor. Now let me tell you something about, we talk about family stock or the family name. And if you have a name that, and I think it's wonderful, but I didn't. I related to Gideon. He was talking about when God calls us, your family name actually don't mean much. Where you were born, it does not mean anything based on what God has called you to do. Your wealth does not come into play. Where you were born only means you were born there. Who your parents were only means that's your mama and your daddy. God uses ordinary people just like you and I. He uses people with present issues that has issues. He uses people that have fears in their life. He uses people that have chains around their necks. He uses people because in the call, God wants you to let these issues do what? My God. Verse 17. He says, okay, Lord, if I have found favor in your sight. Now, here we go. I want you to show me a sign. So Gideon, this is what he did. He prepared a sacrifice. And God sent him an angel. I'm paraphrasing. And then he showed him fire coming out of a rock. Then Gideon said, okay, thank you, Lord. I know that I've seen an angel face to face. Then God said to Gideon, bruh, go in peace. Fear not, you will not die. Now God has given him a promise right there. What else do you need? Go to battle, Gideon. You're not going to die. But later, Gideon did destroy the enemy and the idols of Baal. And he offered burnt sacrifices. But this infuriated the leadership at that time because they wanted to kill Gideon. God showed him something else. God blocked those people from killing Gideon. Now, Gideon still had some issues. But he was beginning to obey the call. But he still wanted some proof. Gideon, God was orchestrating the working behind the scenes, preparing Gideon for the mission. Now, he still had the chains about him, as we do. He still had some issues. He still had fear. At this point, Gideon saw the Midianites and the Amalekites going down in the valley, beginning to plot against them. They were in the valley of Jezreel. because they wanted to kill and completely destroy the children of Israel. But Gideon responded to the situation that was brewing. Now we're coming to today. What's going on in your life today? What is holding you back from getting rid of your issues today? What is holding you back from stepping out of the box, from obeying what God has called on you, from obeying what God wants you to do, from sharing the gospel, from sharing on your job, by your faith, by your attitude, okay? So the Lord said, if you save Israel at my hand, I will need another sign. Here we go again. The human nature, we love to see signs. We want to see, before we really believe God, we want to see blood running out of a statue. Oh, that sure means that Jesus really died. Because of fear, we respond certain ways. If you want to know why certain people respond, it's because they're carrying fear from their background. They're carrying issues, and we're saying, oh my God, how can you say some of these things to you? Because of fear, we want a sign. So this is what Gideon said. He said, okay, Lord, I'm going to put a fleece of wool in the ground. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon the ground besides it, then I will know that you will save me and you will keep your promise. So early in the morning, Gideon twisted the dew out of the fleece, and the water filled a bowl. I'm skipping down to verse 39. Okay, now God did that again. Here comes Gideon. And he asked the Lord, okay, Lord, don't be angry with me, Lord. But I want you to do one more thing for me. He said, okay, I saw what you did before, Lord. He said, this time, Lord, let the fleece be dry. But let all the ground nearby be wet. And God did so. The fleece was dry, and there was dew on the ground. Now, was Gideon really testing the Lord, or was he simply seeking more encouragement? Man requires signs because of unbelief. We're responding out of fear. We're responding because of the chains are about our neck. We are responding because of our fears and because of our past, and we just don't want to let it go. Either way, his motives might have been okay, but his methods displayed the doubt. So he asked God for two miracles, even after witnessing the fire coming out of the rock. Now, it's understood, church, in order to make a good decision, you need the facts. But Gideon had all the facts, but still, he hesitated. God wants us to do certain things, but Lord, you know this. You know what I said last time. You know how they treated me. But God wants you to get rid of it. So Gideon hesitated, even after the miracles. Even after the signs God showed Gideon. Even after feeling the presence of God. I can't. It's hard, Lord. My heart is heavy. But God said, go. He displayed the doubt. But what happens when we want more proof? We need to rely completely on God's word for our guidance. If you want more direction, simply go to the word. Church, if we are going to be ministers, missionaries, and again, you are all called, we are all called, every one of you are called to mission. If you're going to do it, We're going to have to learn not to let a fleece become a substitute for God's wisdom, but go to the Word. Now, I love the saints of old. And in my background, we were taught some things that what we could not do. As a young man, we used to go to church, and we were taught, in my background, we were taught that it is a sin to go to the movies. So you know what the young people did? We snuck away. But while I'm watching the movie, there's about five or six of us, while watching the movie, we just... Because we know what we were taught. Now, the saints of old meant well. They did the best with what they had. But we are so stuck on what we've been taught. But what we've been taught, does it match what the Word says? Again, if it had not been for those saints of old praying over me and sharing with me, I would not be here today. But after we begin to grow in the Word of God, after you begin to study to show yourselves approved, after you begin to learn to take some of these things off and those words that so held you back, you begin to grow in the Word, but you remember what you've been taught, it don't match what the Word say. And we hesitate. I know what, but there is some stuff you should not be watching. But there's nothing in the Word that says you can't go to the movies. Tradition told me when I grew up, every first Sunday, and it's tradition around most African-American churches, we wore black suits, white shirt, and black tie. Now, when I came to St. Paul, the only change, it was a red tie. There's nothing in the Bible that says you need to wear a black suit and a red tie to church. There's nothing wrong with it. Absolutely nothing. That's just a tradition. That just shows unity. I'm not knocking it. What I'm just saying is we get confused with what God has said and what somebody has told us. And we feel like to be free, and we wonder why some people hesitate, because it's seared in their mind. If you don't do it, it's a sin. So we hesitate. We have these fears. But as we grow in the Lord, we need to learn that we have to let some stuff go. We must become completely reliant on the Word of God and not what others have said. Now, it's a sad day if we are unprepared for ministry this day. Because of our fears have immobilized us for ministry. God has called us to defeat the enemy. Church, we have an enemy to defeat. How can you defeat the enemy? You that are sitting under the sound of my voice. Well, I'm poor. Well, I don't have all of the resources that they have. Maybe I just don't feel like it. But God has called you to go. And if you go, Lord, I'm getting ahead of myself. Just because you are who you are does not mean you have not been commissioned. You have been commissioned to go and minister and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And everyone that's been commissioned does not sit up here.
Hallelujah.
Some of you have been commissioned out there. And if you don't, again, there's going to be somebody that's not going to be ministered by you. Now, if God can use Jacob, who was a liar, the father of the Israel nation, God can use you. If God can use Joseph, who was known as a slave, to save his family, God can certainly use you. If God used Moses, who was a shepherd in exile and a murderer, but he led the children out of Israel. Surely God can use you. If God can use Hannah, a housewife, to be the mother of Samuel, God can certainly use you. If God used David, a shepherd boy, and the last born in his family, he became the greatest king. Surely God can use you. I want you to know there was a man named Ezra that God used. He was known as a scribe to lead the children of Israel out of exile. And he read to the scribe of the Bible, and he wrote the book of Nehemiah. If God can use a woman named Esther, she was a slave woman, to save her people from a massacre, surely God can use you. Sam, Joe, Gloria, you sitting under the sound of my voice, God has called you to do something. Yes, you have some chains about your neck, but surely God can use you. If God used Mary, who was a peasant girl, to be the mother of Jesus, certainly God can use you. If he used Matthew, who was a tax collector, surely God can use you. If he used Luke, who was a Greek physician, to become a companion of Paul, surely God can use you. If he can use a man named Peter, who was a fisherman, who became an apostle and leader of the early church, and wrote two epistles in the New Testament, surely God can use you. If he used Brother Gideon, who was a farmer, to deliver the children from Midian, surely God can use you. But as we read in our scripture, God had to show Gideon that letting go of 32,000 soldiers, reducing the army to 300. Otherwise, the army or the people or you would take credit. God had to show Gideon that I'm going to reduce your army. I'm going to take what you think is going to be a winner. I'm going to take everything that you think is going to help you to defeat the army. I'm going to reduce it down to 300. When we've been reduced, or when we're in a state where God is ministering and teaching and showing you something, don't get discouraged. Don't say, just because there's only two or three in the audience, I'm not going to give my best. Don't say, I'm going to go to ministry, the convalescent ministry, and just because there's 20 or 15 people sitting in wheelchairs, and some of them can't talk, and some of them are bent over, I'm not going to give my best. For the Lord showed me in a convalescent ministry some years ago, and I shared this story. This woman, this is when she was bent down in the wheelchair and never said a word. And one of the volunteers said, let's sing a song right here. And I believe in singing when you go out and share some traditional songs. And so I just start singing Amazing Grace. And the woman buried up, stood up. This was a beautiful, older Caucasian woman. And she sang Amazing Grace. I said, oh my gosh. And it was back when the late Sister Horton was with us. And we were looking at each other like, I never heard her sing a song. And when she got finished singing, she sat down back into her situation. And you know what that meant to me? It doesn't matter the number. It doesn't matter what you think. There are people that you need to go and minister your best. Whether they ever say a word of thank you. Whether you never get a pat on the back. You need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ like you are completely crazy. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. For God has called every one of you. Forget about those fears. Forget about that anger. anger, that anger, let those chains go. Pull that mess off. Let it go. I feel lighter. I feel like I can walk better. I might feel like I can run just a little bit. But guess what? When we let go, when we stop hesitating, get that hesitating a step. Show God that you can work. Just step out. Let that fear go. Let the presence of what you did go. Let your fears go. Ain't nothing in there but balloons. Don't worry about it. Those present situations that keep you down. Laura, let that mess go. For God has called you to do something. And you can't do it all with those weights on. God desires to minister, to let you be free. There was a song we used to sing, I am free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No longer bound. Hallelujah. Are you free today? Do you want freedom today? Don't allow Satan to derail you from experiencing your potential. Satan is the biggest liar. Don't be fooled about the tricks and the weights that he put on you. It's Satan, listen at me closely. It is Satan's plan, church, to have you chained up and bound with the hurts of the past, with your present hurts, and locked down with the feelings that God no longer wants to use you. Don't believe the lie. Repeat after me. Don't believe the lie. For God certainly wants to use you. Now, it's not enough that God opened the mouth of a donkey and spoke to the prophet to redirect him. Don't tell me if you won't let some of that stuff go, God won't use you. Yeah, God was patient with Gideon. God chose him to defeat the Midianites. And he said that even though you impoverished, the land of where you live and what you have is gone, but God has called you. So that night, Gideon gave a man a trumpet and a torch inside of a pot jar. As his signal, he blew the trumpets and he broke the jars to reveal the torches and shouted at the sword of the Lord for Gideon. That's found in Judges, the 7th chapter. God caused that enemy to panic and turn away from each other and start killing each other. Gideon called out reinforcements, and they pursued and raided them and killed them. Maybe you are facing overwhelming odds. Gideon was afraid, but God understood his fear, but he still didn't excuse Gideon from the attacks, from his task. So church, visitors, those of you who hear me in Radio Land and are listening to me, you are facing a battle. God will give you strength that you need in any situation. So don't be startled by the way that God uses you. Like Gideon, you must listen to the word of God and take the first step. I know what you've been taught. I know some of those things worked for them, but it wasn't according to the Bible as you grew. So let some of that stuff go if it doesn't line up with the word of God. God loves to do the Gideon to you. He loves to use weak people like you and me for his glory. God can accomplish great things through us if we forget our weaknesses, if we forget that fear, if we let go of those things and realize that maybe God might be showing you something through your task. Let the weak things in our life, let it go, church. Don't let those things hold you back. If we realize the condition of, just say, your own church family, whatever it is that is causing you to sit still and to be stagnant, guess what? God has not excused Ron from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he has not excused you. So you have to find a way to obey the word of God in the midst of your crying. You have to find a way to continue to use your gifts and your talents. And guess what? You can do it. You can do it. If you stop the hesitant, being hesitant. And that's why I love Gideon so. Because I was a hesitator. I said, Lord, I know what you said, but I can hear what I heard in my background, and it hurts. But God wants you to move forward, amen? He wants you to let the past go. He wants you to let negative things go that are present in your life that hinder you from obeying the Lord. Let fear go, church. Don't allow fear to stop you from reaching your full potential, no matter the impairments or the disablement. Reach towards heaven to cry out to the Lord. He is listening to every word and every tear, and he knows every heart plea. So let everything go that stops you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, what? Should not perish. There's somebody sitting in this church that have not accepted Jesus Christ. I need to tell you right now, before we even give the appeal, that you need to let it go and say yes to God, because he's standing out there with his arms open wide. Amen? So I leave you with these words, let it go.